Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching this morning from the book of Galatians. It's the New Testament letter, the epistle that the Apostle Paul was inspired to write to the churches of Galatia. And I've got several messages that I'm going to go through this section of Scripture in coming weeks. But today I want to talk to you about this subject, the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. And that's taken from Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5, and where he says, where Paul writes to the Galatians, he said, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you," talking about Paul the apostle himself and the preachers of the gospel who had the sign gifts of the power of God then to support their message. And we don't have those today because we have the completed Word of God. But back then, they were enabled by the Holy Spirit to do miracles that would not to draw people's attention to the miracle, but to show that they were sent of God with the authority of the Word of God. We are ambassadors of Christ. And so he said, "He that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law?" In other words, is this ministry of the gospel of salvation, is it upon conditions of keeping the law or by the hearing of faith? The hearing of faith. Now, what is the hearing of faith? What's the hearing of the gospel, which comes by the Holy Spirit, who performs a miracle in every one of God's true children, and it's the miracle of the new birth, wherein the Holy Spirit imparts life from Christ, spiritual life, and he gives all of God's children eyes, spiritual eyes now, to see. You have physical eyes, I have physical eyes, and we can see somewhat. I have to wear glasses at this stage of my life, and many people do. But we have physical eyes. But what we don't have by nature, as we are naturally born, is spiritual eyes. You know, it's one thing to see a thing. It's another thing to know and see and understand its value. And so, also, he gives us spiritual ears. It's one thing to hear a message, but it's another thing to see, to hear the glory and the beauty of it. And that's what he gives. That's what the Holy Spirit gives in the new birth when he imparts life from Christ. He raises us from spiritual death unto spiritual life, gives us eyes to see and ears to hear. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ meant in John chapter 3 in speaking to Nicodemus when he told him, "You must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of God." You can see things, but they don't mean anything. You can see the truths and the glories of the kingdom of God. You can see them, understand what we're saying, but you cannot appreciate them and love them and believe them and hear them unto faith. And so he talks about the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith is believing the gospel of God's grace, conditioned, salvation conditioned, not on our law-keeping, not on our human morality. Should we be moral human beings? Yes. But our salvation is not conditioned on our human morality and not conditioned on even our choices, but conditioned on Christ alone. Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead. And that's what the gospel is all about, that God chose a people before the foundation of the world and gave them to Christ. put all the responsibility, all of the stipulations, all of the conditions of salvation upon Him. And that's why He is the Savior of His people. So understand that. So Christ said to Nicodemus, you must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. He told His disciples in Matthew 13 when they asked Him the question, why are you speaking in parables? And He told them that the reason, you read this in Matthew 13, it begins at verse 10. We won't go there this morning. But He told those people, He told His disciples, He said the reason He was speaking in parables was as a judgment against those who refused to see and hear the message of grace. And that's what all of us do by nature. And He told the disciples there in Matthew 13, He said, He talked about the Pharisees. They seen, but they see not. They have physical eyes, but they don't see what they need to see, the spiritual glory and value and beauty of Christ, the glory of His person, the power of His finished work, how His blood is so successful that in His death, shedding His blood, it was the complete payment of all the sins of all for whom He died to ensure their salvation and eternal glory, their eternal well-being. Do you see that? You see? The glory and power of His glorious person, who is Jesus Christ? Do you know who He is? Because that's necessary to our believing the gospel, the good news. Paul wrote about that in Romans chapter 1 when he said that I received the gospel of God. And he says, and the gospel of God, he said in Romans 1, is about a person concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning this person who is God and man in one person, very God of very God, as some theologians put, and very man of very man, without sin. That's who Jesus Christ is. He's such a wonderful person, the Scripture tells us. Such a glorious person. One person with two natures. One nature is deity. The other nature is sinless humanity. And He took into union with Himself a perfect sinless human nature. And as God in human flesh, the Word made flesh dwelling among us, John 1:14. God manifest in the flesh, Matthew 1:23. And so that's what He's talking about. Do you see the glory of Jesus Christ? Or do you think He was just another good prophet, another kind, moral martyr? No. If you look across the page of Galatians, where we're at in Galatians 3, and look at chapter 4, look down at verse 4, and here's what He's saying here. He says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son. Now, the fullness of the time there refers to the time that God had predestinated before the foundation of the world. God appointed a time. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and when He says God sent forth His Son, that speaks of Christ's deity as the second person of the triune Godhead. He's the Son of God. He is by nature in every whit God, every attribute of deity, along co-equal with the Father and the Spirit, but He's the second person. Now, that's not three gods. It's one God who subsists in three persons. And that's something we cannot explain. But that's how the revelation of God is here in the Bible. But in the fullness of the time, at the appointed time, not 1 second before or 1 second afterward, but when God appointed it, Christ came, the Son of God. He sent His Son. And then look at the next line in verse 4, made of a woman. Now, that's His humanity. The humanity of Christ, the human nature of Christ, was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary without the aid of man. So He wasn't born of man. He's the seed of woman, Genesis 3:15. He's born of woman. and he was made of a woman. And that's talking about his humanity conceived in the womb of Mary. And he was made of a woman. So God the Son came and united with that human nature. Now, why did he do that? Well, it says in verse 4 that he was made under the law. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that he was made under the law in the sense that he was responsible, accountable to keep the law and satisfy the justice of God's law as the surety, the substitute, and the redeemer of his people. It says in verse 5, it says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, I'm going to refer back to that verse in later messages. But Christ had to be both God and man in order to redeem his people from their sins. When he was made under the law, over here in Galatians 3 and verse 13, and I'm going to deal with this a little more in detail later on too. Look what it says in verse 13 of Galatians 3. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. That is, for his people. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's quoted from the law book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 21. So Christ, being made under the law, he was responsible and accountable to keep that law for his people and to satisfy its justice by death, because the curse of the law, which he was made, how was he made a curse under the law? Well, again, now before the foundation of the world, Christ was made surety for his people. What does that mean? That means all of the debt of their sins was put upon him, to his account, to his charge, imputed to him. That's what the biblical word is. So they're not imputed to God's people. That's why David wrote in Psalm 32, blessed is he whose sins are forgiven, whose iniquities are covered. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. And so our iniquities, the iniquities of his people that God gave him before the foundation of the world, they are imputed to him, the sin debt. And that's the sin debt is the curse, you see. Christ was made a curse when he came under the law as a human being, as a sinless human being, both God and man in one person. But that law cursed every one of his people. In other words, it showed that they were deserving of the curse, which is death, eternal damnation. That's the curse. Now, just like God told Adam in the garden, in the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Dying thou shalt die. And that's the curse of sin. That's the curse of the law. You know, the strength of sin is the law, because the law condemns sinners where sin is imputed. So what's my only hope? Well, it's to stand before God not having my sins imputed to me. And if they're not imputed or charged or accounted to me, they had to be imputed, charged, accounted to someone. Well, not just anybody. If God imputed your sins to me, I couldn't help you, because I'm a sinner too. But he imputed those sins to Christ. Christ is the one whom God appointed. Christ is the one who is able to pay the debt. Christ is the one who is willing to pay that debt for the sins of his people. So you see that. Now, what I've just talked to you about is the hearing of faith. That's what it is. That's the gospel. The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Hearing that gospel with spiritual ears. Now, why do we have to have the hearing of faith? Why do we have to be given spiritual ears? Well, it's because we fell in Adam. When Adam sinned, do you realize this? The Bible teaches this. That when Adam sinned, the whole human race fell into sin and death. By him. He was the representative of the whole human race. That's what the Bible teaches. Some people say, well, that's not fair. I shouldn't be made be called a sinner until I make my first sinful choice. My friend, everybody makes the sinful choice. Because we're not only fallen in Adam into sin and death, we're born naturally spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. You can read about that, for example, in Ephesians chapter 2. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. That's spiritually dead, not physically dead. You come forth from the womb with physical eyes to see, physical ears to hear, but you come forth from the womb naturally, completely, totally, spiritually dead. So that when you come to a point where you can hear and understand things, messages, when you hear the gospel, if you don't have spiritual ears, the hearing of faith, and what is the faith there? That's the gospel. It's not that we believe and then we receive the hearing. It's we receive life from the dead hearing, and then God gives us faith. The Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 17, faith cometh by hearing. And it's God who gives us that hearing, and it's God who gives us that faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved, through faith. But that's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see that? Now, what brought the Apostle Paul to say these things? Well, he had been in this area called Galatia, an area in Asia Minor, and he'd gone to different places in that area and he'd preached the gospel. He'd preached the hearing of faith. God's people come to Christ by God-given faith. They're not saved by the law. They're not saved by their works. If left to themselves, they would not choose Christ. It's all by God's grace, the hearing of faith. And then God, through the Apostle Paul, had established several churches in that area called Galatia. Well, after Paul had left on other missionary journeys, what happened? Well, what normally happens? False preachers creep in subtly, claiming to believe salvation by grace, claiming to believe that Christ is their only hope, but adding to that works of the law in order to be really saved or in order to be righteous, in order to be more saved or more sure. In other words, they introduced the works of the law. And Paul, back in Galatians 1, you can read this, calls that another gospel. The literal Greek word there for another means another of a different kind. It's not just a modification of the gospel. It's not just veering off the course a little bit. It is a totally opposite gospel. Because he'd said to, just like he'd said to the Romans, the Roman believers, he said, grace and works will not mix. If you preach grace, it's all of grace. And if you add works, it's not grace. And if you preach works, it's all of works, and grace is no more grace. You can't mix the two. I've heard people say that about certain preachers. They'll talk about salvation by grace, but their preaching is legal. You got to do this, you got to do that, you got to stop doing this, you got to stop doing that. And what they mean by that is in order to be saved. And what Paul is telling these Galatian people, don't listen to these false preachers. He said, he made the statement over in Galatians chapter 1. I'll turn over there. How serious is this? And in Galatians 1, listen to verse 6. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I preached the gospel to you, Paul says. You claim to believe it, but now you're being swayed by these false preachers. And then he says in verse 7, which is not another. That's not good news. Salvation conditioned on the sinner, whether it's his works, his choice, or whatever. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. What these false preachers were preaching was a perversion. But listen to verse 8 of Galatians 1. He says, but that's the apostles, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be damned. This is serious business, he's saying. And so he tells them very plainly that salvation is by grace through the works of Christ, through the blood of Christ, through the righteousness of Christ. He tells them that a sinner is justified before God, not by works of the law, but by grace. What is it to be justified? Well, it's to be forgiven of all my sins. My sins are washed away. We sing that hymn, "What can wash away my sins?" What's the answer? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing. My tears of repentance won't wash away my sins. My believing will not wash away my sins. My living a good moral life will not wash away my sins. The waters of baptism will not wash away my sins. What does? The blood of Jesus Christ. And he said in that hymn, it says, "This is all my hope and peace. This is all my righteousness." Righteousness. That's what to be justified is, to be forgiven of all my sins based on a just ground, the blood of Christ. And it's to be declared righteous in the sight of God. Not by my works of the law, but by Christ. Listen to what Paul says here in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 19. Right before he goes up to chapter 3. Now, he didn't write this book in chapters and verses now. But I'm just showing you this so we can find it. But in Galatians 2:19, he says, "For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." In some way he's talking about it, it's through the law being satisfied that he became dead to the law. What does that mean? It means the law cannot condemn him. The law cannot require anything of him in order to be saved. How did he become dead to the law, that he might live unto God? Verse 20. "I am crucified with Christ." That's it. Christ is my surety. He's my representative. He's my substitute, my redeemer. When he died, I died. Not me personally, but him, in him. When he was buried, I was buried. He did it for me. How do I know he did it for me? Because God has brought me to faith in him. If you go through this life and die in unbelief, he didn't die for you. No. His blood secures the salvation of all for whom he died, and they are known when God brings them under the gospel of God's grace, the hearing of faith. And so he says in verse 20, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." I died when Christ died, but I'm living now. "Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." It's the power and the goodness and the grace of God in me. That's how I live. I'm not the source of the life. Christ is. "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." It's his faithfulness, you see. I want to be faithful, and he will keep me faithful. But the ground of my salvation, the power of my salvation, the glory of my salvation is his faithfulness to do what he promised to do. And he says, "I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And then look at verse 21. "I do not frustrate the grace of God." I don't make it void by introducing the sinner's works as to attaining or maintaining salvation. "For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." If you can be saved by your works, if you can be saved by anything you do or choose to do, if you can be made holy and righteous by your efforts to keep the law, then what you're saying is Christ didn't need to die for you. He didn't need to die for anybody. He died in vain. Because he was made a curse, we saw here. He died to redeem his people to do what they could not do for themselves. And that's the hearing of faith. And so when Paul talks to them, he says, excuse me. He says, "He therefore," this is Galatians 3:5, our text, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit." Now, what is it to minister the Spirit? It's not to try to get people to speak in tongues or anything like that. To minister the Spirit is to preach the message that the Holy Spirit uses to bring sinners to salvation. To preach the message that the Holy Spirit uses to enable, to cause God's people to grow and persevere, and it, wherein He produces the fruit of the Spirit. We're to preach that message. And what is that message? It's the hearing of faith. It's the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace, conditioned on Christ, based upon His blood for the complete payment of all my sins, and His righteousness imputed to us, to His people. You see, everyone who believes the gospel, everyone who's been brought to the hearing of faith, they're righteous in God's sight. How are they righteous? Not by what they do, not by their works, not by their human morality. They're righteous based upon the obedience unto death of Christ, the merits of His obedience unto death. And it's imputed, it's charged to Him. As my sins were charged to Him, His righteousness is charged to me. That's the message of the Spirit. And that's what he means when he says, He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you. Now, Paul did work miracles. The disciples, the apostles, they did work miracles. Some people today claim they can still work miracles. I don't argue with them. I don't believe they do. But I'll tell you, what gospel do they preach? Is it by works of the law, or is it by the hearing of faith? Is it by Christ? Is it by grace? Is it by His blood? Is it by His righteousness imputed alone that I'm justified before God, and from whom I have life, ears to hear, eyes to see, a heart and mind to know and love and believe by the gift of God-given faith, the gospel? That's the hearing of faith. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.